you have the biblical impulse to rescue the perishing? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
If you were to see a burning building, and in that building you were to see a child about to be engulfed by the flames, and you saw that you had an opportunity to go into that building and rescue that perishing child, would you not have a compulsion to do it rather than to see that person perish in the flames?
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound truth simply stated in the messages of Pastor Adrian Rogers. Our souls are worth more than anything this world has to offer. That's why the heart of God is wrapped up in the matter of soul winning. Jude 22 and 23 reinforces the call to rescue the perishing and share the gospel with a lost world. In part one of today's message, we learn that we are motivated by our God-given compassion on others and compulsion to save others from eternal separation from God. If you have your Bible, turn to Jude now as Adrian Rogers begins part two of Rescue the Perishing.
Winning people to Jesus Christ, bringing people to Jesus Christ, is the principal duty of every Christian. I said every Christian. The title of our message today is Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen one. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Now, Jude is a book that tells us that we are to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. And Jude is a book that tells us that we must be doctrinally orthodox, that we must believe right. But beloved, when we believe right, if we truly believe right, we will behave right. Francis Schaeffer said perhaps the ugliest thing in the world is orthodoxy without compassion. Orthodoxy without compassion, without caring for the lost. If God used you just to win one soul to Jesus Christ, think what that would mean. Just one soul. If God used you to bring just one soul to Jesus Christ, you have brought to Christ something that is worth more than all of this wide world. And yet, as I look at our church, I'm brokenhearted because I know that most of our people are not soul winners. That breaks my heart. It perplexes me. Most of our people have never brought even one soul to Jesus Christ. But that's not the saddest thing. The saddest thing is most of our people don't even try. But that's not the saddest thing. The saddest thing is most of them don't even care. Don't even care. If they cared, they would try, and if they tried, if they went forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, they would, according to the scripture, doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound mean. It's not mean, and it's not something I'm saying off the top of my head, not having thought it out. If you do not care about seeing people saved, if you're not concerned about bringing the lost to Jesus Christ, I seriously doubt that you've been born again. I seriously doubt that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. How could someone have received such mercy? How could someone have experienced such love and not want to share it? Oh, the motive of compassion is the compassion that we've received of Him, the mercy that we have received of Him. I'm amazed that some people don't even seem to be interested in bringing people to Jesus Christ. Do you know one thing that's hard for me to understand, folks? That even in an invitation, after I've preached my heart out, and I stand here with arms outstretched and beg people to come to Jesus, some of our people during the middle of that invitation will leave the auditorium. I can't understand that. We're not playing games. This is not a charade. We're not playing church. I wonder if people know Jesus who are not concerned about people being saved. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What is the Spirit of Christ? It is the Spirit of compassion. It is the Spirit of love. It is the Spirit of evangelism. Again, I remind you, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What is the method of compassion? The Bible says, of some have compassion making a difference. It is compassion that makes the difference between one church and another church. We can be orthodox, but if we don't have that moist spot in the corner of our eye, if we don't have that tear in our voice, if we don't have that warmth in our heart, it's not going to make the difference. Years ago, I heard the story of a soul winner. This man was an unlettered man, an uneducated man. He had normal, not supernormal mental abilities, but he had a heart full of love for Jesus Christ. There was in his town a very literate, educated, somewhat cynical man who was not a Christian. This soul winner felt a burden to go see that man and talk to him about Jesus Christ, and he did. He called on him one evening. But when this man, with his brilliance and his rapier-like wit, was finished with the soul winner, he had humiliated the soul winner. He had shown him the lack of logic in some of his presentation. He had shown him where he had even contradicted himself in some of the things that he presented. Finally, the soul winner realized that he was way over his head, seemingly. He had bungled it. He was the wrong man, as it were, for the job. He was humiliated. He had felt that he had disgraced Jesus in the cause of Christ. This man most likely would never be saved. The soul winner, with a broken heart, began to weep a little. He told this man, "I'm sorry. I should never have come here. I don't have what it takes to talk with a man like you. I just loved you and wanted to see you saved, that's all. I'm sorry." The soul winner left, feeling he had so failed and disgraced his Lord. He came home and told his wife. He said, "Wife, I don't want any supper tonight. I'm going to my bedroom to pray. I'd like to be left alone." And he went in humiliation, feeling that not only was the man lost, but he'd failed the Lord and bungled the job, and sobbed out his confession to God and asked God to forgive him for being so ill-prepared and not knowing how to answer this brilliant man. A knock came on the door. The man of letters, the literary man, was knocking on the door. He asked to see the soul winner. The wife said, "I don't think John wants to see anybody." The man said, "I believe he wants to see me." John came out. This man said to John, "Sir, would you tell me how to be saved?" The soul winner said, "Have you come to make sport of me? Are you just jesting?" He said, "No, I'm serious. I need to be saved. I want to be saved." The soul winner said, "I don't understand it." He said, "When I was in your house, every argument I gave, you destroyed." He said, "No, there was one argument you had that I could not answer." He said, "What was that?" He said, "When you laid a trembling hand on my shoulder, and with a tear in your eye, you said that you loved me and wanted to see me saved." He said, "When you left, I couldn't answer that. What would make a man like you leave his home on a night like this? Go all the way across this city and even humiliate yourself that you might try to share something that was so real to you?" He said, "As I thought about that, and I thought about the meaning and the purpose and the sincerity in your life, and I looked in my own life and saw the emptiness, and I saw that genuine love," he said, "that was an argument I could not answer, and I need to be saved. Of some have compassion making a difference." Do we care? Souls are dying, undone, lost without Christ. Do you really care? I say, do you care? Now, the second thing I want us to think about: not only is the soul winner's compassion important, but think with me about the soul winner's compulsion. Look in verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. On your way home, you were to see a burning building. And in that building, you were to see a child about to be engulfed by the flames. And you saw that you had an opportunity to go into that building and rescue that perishing child. Wouldn't you feel a compulsion to do it? I mean, to snatch a child or a man or a woman or anybody for that matter from the fire? Would you not do it? Would you not have a compulsion to do it rather than to see that person perish in the flames? What fire is he talking about? Look in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with fire and brimstone from heaven, yes. But that wasn't the worst fire. Now the inhabitants of Sodom, the inhabitants of Gomorrah, are now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They're being tormented in flame. Sometimes when a preacher preaches about the agonies of hell, he's accused of being a sensationalist. He's accused of being non-loving. He is accused of being uneducated. I'm going to quote a preacher now. I think he's the best preacher that ever lived. And I think he's the most loving man that ever lived and the most wise man who ever lived. His name is Jesus. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus had to say about hell. I'm just going to quote his words. Matthew 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the words of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Rogers, I don't believe it's really fire. I believe that Jesus just chose the word fire to describe something else. Well, dear friend, the figure is always weaker than the reality. And if fire is only a figure of what the reality is, then the reality is worse than fire. There's no way you can explain it away. Anything, any explanation, if the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who was truth incarnate and greatly compassionate, if he chose to use the word fire to describe the punishment of our brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, and neighbors without Jesus Christ, how, dear friend, our compassion ought to be moved to compulsion. How we ought to be moved with compassion, to with fear to snatch them. Fear of their eternal doom to bring them from the flame. Lee Scarborough, former president of Southwestern Seminary, said this: to refuse to witness the saving gospel to a lost world day by day is nothing short of high treason. R.A. Torrey said this: I would like to know what right any man has to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he's not a soul winner. Did you hear that? I would like to know what right any man has to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he's not a soul winner. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, perhaps the greatest preacher of mortal men that ever lived. He said, I had rather bring one soul to Jesus Christ than to unpick all the mysteries in the divine word. what a scholar he was and what a love for the Bible he had. But he said more important than that is to bring people to Jesus Christ. There is the soul winner's compulsion. I mean, dear friend, if you believe in hell, if you believe what the Bible teaches, then you're going to want to bring people to Jesus. You are. Thirdly and finally, I want you to notice the soul winner's caution. Look again, if you will, in verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, the word for garment here is the Greek word for the undergarment, the lining that went under the tunic. And what he's saying is this, that when you reach out to save these people, the people that you're going to be reaching out to, these are people who are moral lepers. You see, in the Bible, sin is illustrated by leprosy. Leprosy in the Old Testament was a vile, horrible, contagious disease. The leper needed mercy, and yet at the same time, the leper was unclean. And everywhere the leper went, he had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And the leper was separated from the camp in a leper colony. And yet, God loved the leper. But God said, you have to be careful when you're dealing with a leper. You can get contaminated. And so God gave them a warning in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 52. He said, he shall therefore burn that garment, talking about the garment that the leper was wearing. He shall burn that garment wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. A contagious leprosy, it shall be burnt with fire. Now he's saying when you deal with a lost soul, you must have compassion. When you deal with a lost soul, there must be a compulsion. But never let your compassion and your compulsion destroy your caution. He's still a sinner. And there is a contamination of sin. Never, never compromise to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You never bring people to Jesus Christ by becoming like them. You may be with them, but you do not become like them. Now, every pastor feels a tension when he's preaching. Because if he's a good pastor and a good preacher, he's going to be telling his people they need to have unsaved friends, and you do. Do you know why they crucified Jesus? Because he was a friend of sinners, and thank God. Amen? You better thank him. He's a friend of sinners. They crucified Jesus because he was a friend of sinners. He kept company with sinners. Somebody says, well, I'm a separated Christian. I don't have any unsaved friends. What a pity. You know, you're a little more Christian than Jesus was. You're a little more separated than Jesus was. Jesus was a friend of sinners. You know, the devil doesn't care which side of the road he wrecks your automobile on as long as he keeps you off the road. Every road has two ditches. Over here is the ditch of the ultra-separatist who doesn't have any unsaved friends. We put the fish in one barrel, as it were, and the salt in another barrel when Jesus said we're to be the salt of the earth. Then over here is the other ditch. These are the people who indeed are such friends of sinners that they're so much like the sinners they can't even really witness to them. They've compromised and they have become polluted by the garment. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he lived a holy life. And so, dear friend, you're to have compassion. You're to be a friend of sinners. You're to have compulsion, but oh, you must have caution. I must say, oh God, don't let me compromise. God, give me that wisdom, give me that ability to be so spirit-filled, to be so protected by the Holy Spirit, to be so committed that the contagion of sin will not touch me while I deal with that sinner and bring him to Jesus. Oh, that there will be the soul winner's compassion. Oh, that there will be the soul winner's compulsion. Oh, that there will be the soul winner's caution. And we'll be so pure and so clean. A few winters ago in Birmingham, what seemed like a tragedy happened. A father went to the hospital to pick up the little newborn baby and mother. He left the automobile running with the keys in the car, the three-year-old in the back seat. Somebody came to steal the car, not realizing a child was in the back seat. It was an unintentional kidnapping, evidently. Later, they found the car abandoned, but they couldn't find the boy. And the people in Birmingham, Alabama, set out to find that little boy because it was winter and snow was on the ground. There was a Vietnam veteran. He joined in the hunt. In his mind, he thought, well, maybe it wasn't a kidnapping. Maybe the little boy just got out of the car. Maybe he is somewhere in the vicinity of where the car was abandoned. He took a flashlight. It was getting dark. And he began to shine that flashlight up and down alleys and into corners and into dark recesses. There was an old house there that was boarded up. And on the front porch of that house was a swing, and on the swing were some newspapers piled up. He shined a light on the newspapers and saw some movement. He cried out, "Billy? Billy?" Billy said, "Is that you, Daddy? Is that you, Daddy?" And this vet praised the name of God. He'd found him. He said, "No, Billy, I'm not your daddy, but I'm here to take you to your daddy." Friend, that's the job of the church, to rescue the perishing, to seek them out. Our job is to find them, to bring them to Him. For this cause, Jesus came into the world. For this cause, this church exists. And what good will our buildings be if we don't have a heart of compassion for the lost?
And if you have questions today regarding your faith in Jesus, we'd love to offer an insightful resource on our website, the Find Answers page. There you'll discover resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about your relationship with God. We'd also like to invite you to check out our Grow Your Faith page. You can get grounded and dig deeper in the Scriptures right there. Simply go to lwf.org/radio and click on the tab that says Grow Your Faith or Find Answers. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's lesson in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Rescue the Perishing. This message is also part of the insightful series, Handbook for Survival. For the complete 9-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Do you have the soul winner's compassion for sinners? Pray and ask God to give you a fresh urgency to share the gospel. Pray for His Spirit to protect you so that the contagion of sin will not touch you as you draw close to others who need to hear that life-giving message. And join us next time for more from Adrian Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. We heard from a listener recently and received some encouraging words I want to share with you. These new resources have helped me appreciate my Creator even more and remember how great He is. I'm always excited to share them with friends and family. Well, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Christ and help believers grow deeper in their faith through the timeless biblical teaching of Adrian Rogers. And to thank you for your gift to the ministry right now, we want to send you our insightful new resource, the What Every Christian Ought to Know Mentoring Tool. This new discipleship tool will ground you in the truth and provide a strong foundation on which to walk the Christian life alongside a fellow believer. Request this booklet when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. or give online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thank you for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.